morning, Ebenezer, family and friends. It is so good to be back with you, connecting through this virtual platform. But as Paul the Apostle said, that we're present in spirit one with another. I tell you, this has been a tough week for so many in the massacres in Texas and the loss of so many children and so many lives, teachers that have been impacted from this. And I want you just to be in prayer. I know our hearts are heavy. You know, as a Christian, we see these things. We can't help but cry out. And I want us to be praying for those families, all that they're going through. And my prayer is that through this all, souls be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth. As we are here in North Carolina, there are many stresses that are going on right within our communities, and we need to pray more than ever before. And that's what we're going to be dealing with today. We're going to the Emmaus Road, and we're going to have an encounter with the Lord. That's what our nation needs, an encounter with the Lord. We thank you as you are reaching out to those that are around you, evangelizing those and sharing the good news, even amongst you. Maybe you're a visitor today. We want to get to know you. We want you to be encouraged, also connected, whether you're in our in-person or in your virtual platform. We have ways that we can get the information and that you be encouraged in the Lord. But most importantly, we want you to be a part of the body of Christ. At ebcnc.com, thank you so much for your support. We've got a lot going on. We've got a Monday manna where we have different Bible studies and a flash from the past. A lot is going on Mondays, marriage teachings. We've been truly blessed. Our Tuesday, noonday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible study where we're going through the book of Luke. And we've recently added a Thursday in-person Bible study in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock where we're going through the First John. And we're going to talk a bit about that as we get into the sermon today. But First John has been amazing as we realize that God is alive and he's well amongst us. I just want to thank you so much for your giving, whatever that manifests itself. It says God loves a cheerful giver, that we can give from our hearts, whether you're in our in-person services or you're giving using the app or you're sending into our secure mailbox. I just want to thank you for all that you do. Today we have a special part within the service where we're going to celebrate our graduates. Yes, some of these have, they've been with this whole thing almost 23 years at Ebenezer. And I think about some of these babies have grown up and now they're going to graduate and go out. We were in New York a few weeks ago and there we saw graduation, and they were walking around through Times Square and they had their regalia on, and there were so many smiles. But if I could just pull them aside, I'm like, it's just beginning, because there's so much more to life. And I want you to pray for our graduates, that first and foremost, that Jesus be priority in their lives. Well, let's prepare our hearts and let's think about the goodness of the Lord as we celebrate how gracious God has been to our children, to our church family, and to us as we have been saved, delivered, and set free. See you soon.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Steele. My mother's name is Christy Massenberg Steele. I'm graduating from the middle college at UCANT. I'm going to Winston-Salem State University to major in business administration. And my favorite EBC moment is probably the lock-ins. Those are great. So yeah, lock-ins for sure.
Hi, my name is Courtney Kelly, and my parents are Jeff Kelly and Carrie Kelly. And I currently attend Ragsdale High School, and I plan on going to GPCC. And I want to be an interior designer, but I also want to be a real estate agent. So hopefully I can do both. And my favorite scripture is Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Hello, I'm Jacob Simmons, and I attend the middle college at UNCG. My parents are Timothy and Joretta Simmons. My favorite verse is Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. My favorite event at EBC was probably Family Fun Day in the summer and seeing everybody congregate and have a good time and eat fried fish. I plan on attending Loyola University New Orleans to study nursing after I graduate.
Hi, my name is Miles Chris. I graduated from High Point Christian Academy. Our plans after high school are to attend North Carolina A&T State University and major in kinesiology. My parents are Dwayne and Stephanie Crisp, and my grandmother is Wilhelmina Melton. And my favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things within Christ who strengthens me.
Hello, my name is Nadia Williams, and I attend the middle college at Bennett. My plans after high school is to attend JCSU, which is a private HBCU in Charlotte, North Carolina. I plan on majoring in nursing. My parents are Juanita and Jeffrey Williams. And my favorite scripture I have from Ebenezer is, "I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. They are plans of peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope." And that comes from Jeremiah 29:11. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Nina Woods. My parents are Diane and Jermaine Woods. I currently attend Greensboro Middle College. In the fall, I plan to attend ECU with a major in biology, soon to switch over to pre-med. After graduation, I plan to become an anesthesiologist. My favorite scripture is Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
Hello, my name is Tyler Moore. My father is Travis Moore, and my stepmother is Ebony Moore. I plan to attend NC A&T in the fall as a civil engineering major. My favorite scripture is Psalms 37:4. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart."
But this one comes from the book and the pages of Psalms. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
There is a chapter 37,
yes,
and I want to share with you about three verses. And I'll be out of your way. All right? Psalms chapter 37, beginning at verse 25. And we will move down to 28. All right?
Amen.
Listen to what it says. "I have been young." Does that sound like it's for all of us? "I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." That pastor was doing some of that, talking about that a few minutes ago. Amen. Listen to what verse 26 says. "He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Verse 37. "Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forever, evermore." And the 28th verse. "For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsake not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." And verse 29, I want to share with you. "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Amen. I trust that we've gotten a little something from knowing that God, the man says, "I have been young, but now I'm old." Yeah, the righteous. "I've taken care of it. I'm not going to tell you my age."
"One day at a time, sweet Jesus, That's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Lord, help me to be all I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. And Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked the streets among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. People are pushing and shoving. They're crowding my mind. But Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time.
Just a closer walk with thee. That's my prayer for all of us as we think about our relationship with the Lord. Especially in this season and time where so much craziness is going on, evil, we can say, from the massacres in Texas, other massacres in other parts of the country, even into our own triad area where murder rates are up and families are falling apart. We need a closer walk with the Lord. And as we enter into this message today, I want you to think about where your heart is at, where your focus is at, and most importantly, that the Holy Spirit is leading us into all truth. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you and we thank you for who you are. Lord, it's been a tough few days as we have taken in the news and all the sadness, the mayhem. But you said in this season, Lord, that the spirit of Antichrist would come. And you said, even now, he is amongst us. So, Lord, help us as you have left us here as your saints, your children, to hear your voice, to walk in the light, to share Jesus. Now, Father, as we get into this word, I welcome you. Would you forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness? Holy Spirit, please teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. Father, if there's some that are looking in today and don't know you, I pray today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, help them to experience that immense grace. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 24 and focus in on that 16th verse. Luke 24 and 16. It reads, "But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." Listen to that again. "But their eyes were restrained that so that they did not know him." I want to speak from a title today. He's closer than you think. He's closer than you think. As we enter into this section of scripture, the resurrection has literally already taken place within the time frame. And now we pick up dealing with people and their thoughts and faith. Saints, today as we really look into this scripture on several levels, we are going to be able to see a picture of ourselves simply as we progress and how much we really believe the Lord. As we get into this section, women have gone to the tomb and they found Jesus is gone. They've received word from angels that he's no longer here. And this whole process, Jesus, before this even happened, told them that in 3 days it was going to happen. But now there's much doubt. The disciples, many of them have run to the tomb. They don't find Jesus. They haven't seen Jesus. Now, we know that there's some sightings again amongst women and that connection there. But still, the main people, the inner circle of leaders such as Peter, James, and John haven't actually seen the Christ. And so doubt, the cloud is all over them. This Luke 24:13 actually gets us another camera view as we see others that have been in the city making their way home. Luke 24:13, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." Luke 24:15, "So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Isn't that good? Here's our first point. When God shows up. Yes, when God shows up. Walking at about 3 to 4 miles per hour, this journey that they're on would have approximately taken about 2 hours or so. So there's plenty of time to make connection, have reflection, to talk with those that are around. We're going to find out one of these people, disciples, is named Cleophas. The other disciple is not named. Some theologians believe that it could be his wife. Some believe that it's Dr. Luke. We're just not sure who it is, but we know these are disciplined followers of the Lord, those who had been around those intimate teachings of Christ. They're talking about the crucifixion. They're talking about this stir that's in the community now that Jesus has gotten up from the grave, or at least that his body is missing. But notice Luke 24:15, that second part, that Jesus drew near and went with them. So as they're talking and they're conversing, all of a sudden the risen Christ slips up on them. He just comes as a friend, a connection, a fellow traveler on the mess road. How many times has God been right there in our conversations and we just didn't recognize him? Yes, he slipped in amongst us and he was in essence one of our peers and we didn't realize that it was God manifesting himself amongst us. Remember, we're encouraged in the scriptures, Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Literally, God says that I can allow things to come around you that you don't even know. We're going to deal with that. In order to grow closer to the Lord, we must have an awareness of his presence. We've got to really be looking for him. And sometimes he doesn't show up the way we think he should show up. But we know that his presence is there if we have an awareness of him. Hebrews 13:5, we're told this. It said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Saints, I want to encourage you as we're on this walk in this series, just a closer walk with him, that we must know that God is with us, even in these tough times, even in these stressful times, even when we have tragedies around us, God has never left us. We have to stay close to him. Look at Luke 24:16. But their eyes were restrained. Those quick typers out there just put restrained. That's very important. Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Here's another point. The walk of faith. Yes, the walk of faith. Staying close to the Lord is not always easy. Any amens out there? We have struggles. Our flesh fights against the spirit walk, and in so many ways we can find ourselves diverted at times. But I want you to know he's closer than you think. We must fight to stay aware of God's presence. We really do in every situation of the day, walking with the Lord, because he's always with us, the saints of God, as we're going through these stresses of life. Romans 8:5 lets us know, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:7 follows up with that, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Can you type faith? You're sitting in your living room, just say faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul the Apostle even admonishes us in Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Lord restrained their physical eyes, listen to this, so that now their spiritual man could be more acute, that they could actually connect with their surroundings in a greater way. We find out that when certain senses are pulled away, other senses become more acute, such as if you can't see with your eyes, physical eyes, your ears are used more. The same, I have some friends that are deaf, and it seems like they can see everything. They can sense things. Vibrations that I miss, they're able to pick up because those senses have become more acute. In the same way, God restrains their eyes from recognizing who he really is. Now this is important. So often we bring out that we need to close our eyes and in prayer. And the reason we do that, or in worship time, or we lift up our hands and our eyes are closed, because we want a greater sense of God's presence. When we open our eyes, there's so many things that come in. But notice God does a supernatural thing here, that their eyes are open, but they cannot recognize that it's Jesus amongst them. Look at Luke 24:17. He's closer than you think. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? This is critical here. This is the point. What are you talking about? Yes, what are you talking about? I find it interesting. I find it interesting that Jesus comes. He restrains their vision from recognizing who he is. And then he asks them, what are you talking about? This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's just been resurrected from the dead. He has all power and anointing. He knows what they're talking about. So the question wasn't for Jesus. It really was for those that were walking down that road. The Lord wanted them to really examine the conversation that was going going on. This is very important because they were sad and they were reasoning among themselves. They were actually in the midst of doubt and they were struggling with their faith. Matthew 12:35, Jesus taught this: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Please put words in. That's very powerful, because we must understand every word that comes out of our mouth. Jesus said, what are you talking about? What is your conversation? Are you even thinking about what you're saying at this point? Well, we've got to watch our conversation. We must speak more of God's word and have more Bible reading and more worship that are emanating from our presence, that we can connect with the Lord, that we can glorify him. And as we walk in our lives and our daily interactions, I encourage you to look at your conversations. What are you talking about? Is it edifying? Is it lifting up the name of the Lord? Are we striving to help other people? Notice, because they don't know it's Jesus, they actually speak their heart. Yes, he's closer than you think. Now, this is important. This is important. So often, I know this conversation would have been totally different if Jesus would have revealed himself. Just up in front, I'm Christ. He wouldn't really have heard their heart, and they wouldn't have been able to express their heart. It happens to me a lot of times. Many times, I don't let people know what I do as a pastor or a leader of a church, simply because when they find out I'm a pastor, all of a sudden, they get spiritual on me. There ought to be some amens in the house. Man, they can be cursing or doing whatever they want. I come in that situation and somehow we're talking and it comes out that, you know, I'm a preacher or I'm a pastor. All of a sudden it always happens that somebody's going to say, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what situation they had just been in. They get spiritual. And so Jesus says, I'm going to come in this. I'm just going to come in as a regular person. You're not going to be able to see who I am. And now we can hear what you're saying. So often in our lives, we can be fake. Could you put in the chat, fake, and some just scream out fake? We can pretend that we're really more than we are, but God wants us right where we are. He wants us to be able to see our hearts and hear our conversations so that we can repent and say, God, I need more of you. He's closer than you think. Look at Luke 24:18. Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened there in these days? Luke 24:19. And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Please understand, this is Jesus standing before them, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. 24th verse, it says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Luke 24:22, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Look at this, 24:24, it says, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Here's the point. Christ is alive. Yes, Christ is alive. Literally, Christ is standing right there with them or walking along with them as they're making their way home, and they don't even realize it. How many times have we negated how powerful God is in our lives simply because we don't recognize that he is right there with us? Please understand, even in these stressful times, even in the midst of the struggle, God is with us. There ought to be some shouts of praise to know that he's there. How much hope do we have in the fact that Jesus is alive? Our Savior is alive. He is risen. He is powerful, and he's working on our behalf. Knowing that he is alive should drive us to want more of him, to have a closer walk with him. But so often we allow the enemy to get in our minds. We allow the world and the lust thereof to get in our minds. But please understand, we must reach out to him, for he's closer
than we think. Notice within the scripture their attitude, Luke 24:18. Then those who were named was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" Please. She's like, "Don't you know? Where have you been? This is big news. Everybody's been talking about it." Look at Luke 24:21. "But here we began to see the doubt seep out." It says, "But," somebody say, "but." This is powerful here. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Their hearts have been broken. They weren't expecting it to turn out this way. And even though they've had the news that he's not there in the grave anymore, they're still holding on to doubt. They're still holding on to yesterday. I want you to know our Savior is alive and he's closer than we think. Even though the women had spread this news, even though the angels had said that he is not here, they were still struggling. Oh, that we believe that God is with us. Oh, that we believe that he wants us to have a closer relationship with him. Oh, that we decide once and for all that to Jesus we shall surrender to him. I remember what Christ would tell one of his disciples, Thomas, in a stressful time, John 20:29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." Thomas was like, "I'm not going to believe it until I see him for myself, until I able to put my fingers in those nail prints, until I'm able to touch his side where their spear went up." He said, "Thomas, you because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." He's closer than you think. This is us as we walk through our days. He's closer. He's right there, though we have not seen him physically in that sense. I'm telling you, he is with us. Luke 24:25. "Then he said to them," listen to this, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Notice that's an exclamation mark. Jesus, he brings it. He said, "You should have believed. You're foolish and you're slow of your heart. The prophets have already spoken of this, not including what I taught you." Luke 24:26. "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" This was the plan. This is what I laid out for you. This is what the prophets have spoken of the Old Testament. Even in the Torah, they put these things out there. Luke 24:27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He's closer than you think. Here's the point. Believe the word. Yes, believe the word of God. This is so important. We're in a time where I'm telling you, a massive unbelief has encompassed the church. Yes, it's encompassed simply because some say that they're Christians and say that they love the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, but they don't believe in the power and the anointing of God's word. Do you but truly believe the word of God? Have you grasped the reality of John 1:1? "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." John 1:2, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Or have you grasped the reality of 1 John 1:1? "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have touched and looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." John 1:2 says the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is important. 1 John 1:4 says, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." He's closer than you think. Please, the word that we have is true. I'm telling you, those Bibles, I know we have digital versions, but we've got to pick up those things and know that God's anointing has been put on these pages, that the word of God still stands even in these stressful times. People need God's word. Look at Luke 24:28. "Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and stayed with them. Here's the point. Spend more time with the Lord. Yes, spend more time with the Lord. The key to getting closer to the Lord and walking closer with him is to desire him more. Yes, to desire his presence, to want to be with him. We must want to be where he is. Yes, but sadly, so often we want to be other places. We don't want to be in the presence of God. We love him. We do our little prayers from time to time. But do we really want to be where he is? Think about what really drives you. Think about what you really desire. Is Jesus in those top 10 things that drive you? Yeah. I encourage you just to write down what on your daily basis as you're going through your weeks. What really gets you happy and excited? Sadly, if we were honest with ourselves, Jesus is not in that top 10. Matthew 6:33 gives us direction. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So often we seek after the things and not realizing that it's Christ what we need. Oh, that we cherish. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. That 8th verse, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. How many want more of Jesus? Knock. How many of us want to sense the leadership of the Holy Spirit more? We need to ask of him. He's closer than you think. Look at this final section, pulling it together, Luke 24:30. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. There's some people that caught this whole picture here. Jesus is sitting there and he picks up the bread and he breaks it. Yes. Reflecting back to that Last Supper, that all of a sudden their mental capacities are connecting. Their spiritual eyes have been opened up. Luke 24:31. Then their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. He's closer than you think. Luke 24:32, and they said to one another, I love this, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Here's the final point. Heartburn. Yes. Heartburn. That ought to be said. You can put in the chat. Heartburn. There's something that happens when we come into the presence of Jesus. There's something that happens when we actually desire him and we begin to reflect upon his word daily in our lives as we go through the day, as we think about his word being the foundation of our understanding of who God is. Josiah Spears, an evangelist in the 1800s, he wrote this powerful statement. He said, the frugal meal became a sacrament and the home became a house of God. That's what Christ does wherever he goes. They who entertain him will be well entertained. The two had opened to him their home, and now he opens their eyes. I want to read that again. The two had opened to him their home, and now he opens their eyes. I'm telling you, are you willing to open up your home to the Lord? Are you willing to open up your heart to the Lord? Are you willing to open up your living to God as you go through the day? He's closer than you think. Look at this. This Luke 24:32. They came to this point as the realization of that was Jesus that was in front of them. And as Jesus disappeared, they say, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I could only imagine what they were feeling at that point, how deep that burning went down into their soul to know that it was true that Jesus was alive, to know that God himself was manifested before them. And that's what we need within our lives as we make our way through all these troubled times. You gotta believe that Jesus did come and walk among men, healing the sick and raising the dead. You gotta believe that he had encounters and he taught like none other. You gotta believe that he was able to multiply fish and bread and walk on water. You gotta believe that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he finally came to the point of praying, not my will, but let thy will be done. You gotta believe that he was betrayed betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He was beaten all night long, and he goes down the Via Dolorosa. You gotta believe he goes to a place called Calvary, where he takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and there he carries our sins and bears our griefs. You gotta believe that he dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but there ought to be some shouts of praise that he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory, and now he's praying for us and has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside, and he's closer than you think. Yes, saints, this is our season. This is our time that we have to step up in him. We've got to desire him. This is not a time to sit on the bench. This is a time to get out and say, Lord, I want to be used for your glory. This is a time to realize that there's a fight that's going on. There's spiritual warfare that's going on in the heavenlies. Look at the news. Open our eyes. Saints, the enemy is stepping up his attack in a horrific way. But I want you to know the scriptures are clear on what the devil does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But please don't forget that second part. But God has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Who will be used for God for abundant life? That we can share the good news that God is still in the saving business, that God is a deliverer, he's a healer, and most importantly, after this life is passed away, we have an eternal life with him, that we get to live with him forevermore. Paul the Apostle said his best, to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. He's closer than you think. Saints, I encourage you to cry out to him, to ask him to use you, whether it be in intercession for someone or sharing the good news, or just being someone that can share an embrace of encouragement with someone else that's going through. This is the time that God is using the body of Christ in an amazing way. If you don't know him, please open up your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Would you receive that gift today? I'm telling you, your life will never be the same. And you'll understand these scriptures. Oh, didn't our heart burn as he opened up the scriptures to us, as he revealed himself. I'm telling you, God is revealing himself to those who seek him and ask for his presence. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for giving us a picture of these two that walked down the Emmaus Road, and you just showed up, you slipped in, and you restrained their eyes. Oh God, thank you for helping us to see our hearts, our doubts, our struggles. Lord, we want to be able to trust you more. As we go forth, God, we welcome your Holy Spirit. Use us for your glory. We lift you up, Father, and thank you for your immense grace and mercy, that you are closer than we think. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad was going to sing the same four or five songs, 3-hour trip, 4-hour trip. And we dealt with it, and so I'm gonna try my best. He had a skill I don't have. A song could be playing on the radio, and he could sing another song on top of it without missing a beat. I don't know how he could do that, but one of the songs that he loved, we would be riding, and he'd say, "Son, what's that? What's that storm song I sing?" And I say, "Daddy, I don't know. It's a few of them." He said, "Well," he said, "oh, I think I got it." He said, "There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Drift away, Lord, drift away. You will surely
drift away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Then he would say, he'd say, son, no, no, no. He said, now there's another storm song out there. I said, Daddy, I'm trying to drive. And he said, well, this one here is a little slower. He said, son, what was that one? He said, I said, Daddy, I think it's you've been in the storm. Seems like forever. Nights of confusion have been so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. Hold to Jesus and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God is there with you. You may not feel him. Well, you're not alone. Oh, you heard it now. But your morning is coming. He said, hold to Jesus. And you can ride out your storm. By this time, Daddy would go to sleep. We would turn the music up a little bit and I'd say, oh boy, let me get some driving in. And Daddy would wake up and he'd say, son, what day is it? He says, it's Sunday. I said, no, Daddy, you know, we're not dressed for church. Oh yeah, that's right, son. He said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I just can't wait to go to that church, you know, at that Ebenezer. He said, I love it to death. And he said, when I go to Ebenezer, he says, I feel good, good, good. I feel good, good, good. You know, as long as I know I got Jesus, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. He say, sometimes up, sometimes down, and sometimes almost level or to the ground. As long as I know I got Jesus, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. He say, I feel good, good, good. I feel good, good, good. You know, as long as I know I got Jesus, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. Then he would say, he'd say, son, you know, in this life, he said, there ain't but just a few things that you can trust. He would tell you, the Bible says, son, it says, trust no man. I said, yeah, I heard you say that a few times. He said, well, I'm just telling you, just trust. You need to trust no man, nobody but God. And he say, real, oh, real, Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. He say, that is why I love him so. Jesus is real to me. And by this time, he would start over. But there's one more song that he loved to sing. And y'all know this one. Some of you do. Some of you do. My dad sat somewhere about the fifth row. Right there. Right there in front of my wife and daughter. And just soon the pastor would open that door and come out. My mom would say, John, you ain't have to wait till the pastor comes. And he would say, one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. glad to be in the service. Oh, one more time, one more time. Go one more time, one more time. Church, one more time, one more time. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, one more time. If my mother was here today, these are the words I know he would say. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, one more time. Church, one more time, one more time. One more time, one more time. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, one more time. If my father was here today, these are the words I know he would say. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time.